An anthology about the bad, the short-lived, and the forgotten shows and events in television history. This is It Was a Thing on TV.
Punisher! Control!
Harry, before I change my mind!
I give you Super Train!
Episode 412, submission number 671. Billy. Billy ran on ABC from January 1st to May 30th, 1992 for 13 episodes.
Actually, Billy ran from January 31st, 1992 to May 30th of 1992. Now, in case you're wondering why in the last episode and in this episode I sound completely different than I'm sounding now, it's because when I recorded this episode last week when I went to Jersey, I forgot to bring my headset, so I had to settle for my Beats Studio Buds. Oh, well.
And I should note that this is the Billy from 1992, not the Billy with Steve Guttenberg.
Yeah, but did that episode last 3 episodes less than Uncle Croc's Clock and the Hudson Brothers Razzle Dazzle Show and J.J. Starbuck and Schooled and the same number of aired episodes of Salvage One? Probably not.
I could tell you right now. Nope.
That's me, Billy McGregor. I came to America from Scotland, just like Rod Stewart. I don't know what happened to him, but I teach at a community college in California. Me and America, made for each other. Until my work permit expired and I didn't know what to do. Luckily, one of my night school students had a problem, too.
My ex-husband left me with 3 beautiful children and a large mortgage. So I built this basement apartment, which is sort of illegal here in Berkeley, but I couldn't find anyone to rent it.
So there we were, 2 quite adorable people with big problems and a solution.
Well, it's an arrangement, actually.
Now I get to stay in America.
We get to keep our home.
And everybody's happy. Mary.
The children.
And me.
Maybe.
That was unexpected. I mean, Billy was Scottish. You're expecting sort of a riff on Scottish bagpipes. Instead, we get smooth jazz indicative of the era. It's actually an instrumental cover of an old standard. I've Told Every Little Star is the name of that song. All right, let's get to the meat and potatoes of this show, shall we? William Connolly was born on November 24th, 1942 in Anderson, Glasgow, Scotland, the son of an engineer in the Royal Air Force and a mother who left him at age 4. He spent his early adulthood in the early 60s as a boilermaker in the Glasgow shipyards, but gave it up to pursue a career as a folk singer with ribald comedic chops. He would go full bore into comedy by 1972 when he made his theatrical debut with a review called Connolly's Glasgow Flourish. According to his biography, written by his wife, SNL alum Pamela Stevenson, all he wanted out of life was to make people laugh, and for 20 solid years, he did just that. But he remained a virtual unknown in America until a 1990 HBO special, Whoopi Goldberg and Billy Connolly in Performance. A golden opportunity had opened up with the team of Rich Eustace, Michael Elias, and Warner Brothers. But before we talk about that show, we have to talk about another show. Head of the Class was coming off its 4th season, which was marked by change in the classroom at Fillmore High. Struggling to build off the creative opportunities from the opening of season 3, which saw the class head to Russia in a landmark 2-parter that may be covered in a future installment, there was cast turnover with Leslie Bega, Tanis Vallely, and Jury Hussein replaced by Michael DeLorenzo of New York Undercover fame, Devereaux White, Laura Piper, Rain Pryor, yes, the daughter of Richard Pryor, and Ke-Hui Kwan. Academy Award winning actor Ke-Hui Kwan.
That's right. You show respect to the man who's going to be heading the TVA in season 2 of Loki.
His character is actually the repair guy in the TVA, but whatever. You kind of get what I mean here. He's in Loki season 2.
Hey, my takeaway from this is today I learned that Billy Connolly is married to Pamela Stevenson.
Oh, yeah, I was going to mention that.
Still is, by the way.
Good for them.
And if you don't know who Pamela Stevenson is, she was a castmate in the early to mid-80s on SNL. We're talking, what, about 2-3 years after the Numanian era? This is talking about the Julia Louis-Dreyfus era.
I think maybe she was also on the 84-85 season.
Yeah, but she definitely wasn't there 85-86 when you had your Phil Hartmans and all those people came aboard.
She was actually a one-season wonder. She was on the season before the season we covered, the SNL 85 okay. season.
But also, she was in Superman 3.
I was today years old when I learned this.
Yeah, she's one of Robert Vaughn's henchmen in Superman 3.
We're all today years old, apparently, in the first couple minutes of this episode. That's amazing.
So you have all those people joining the class for senior year, which was, for reasons known only to Warner's and ABC, split into two seasons. Howard Hessman, who was with the show since the beginning, left after season 4 saying, quote, "We're not doing the show that I was led to believe I do, and it's difficult for me to get off that." What exactly he meant by that remains a mystery to this day, and will probably continue to be a mystery because of his passing. Having seen the HBO special and its follow-up, Billy Connolly, pale blue Scottish person, Eustace and Elias made a call to Connolly to have him teach as Billy McGregor, a Scotsman in America on a work visa, with many episodes focusing on his life in America and wooing Ms. Mira, the lovely Janetta Arnett, by the way. The show came to a natural end June 25th, 1991, with the class graduating and Bill Moore-High raised to the ground. True story. But the powers that be wanted more Billy, so a new premise was imagined for the character. Billy moves to Berkeley, California, where he is a community college professor, marrying one of his students, Mary Springer, a single mom with several children, so he can get his green card. By the way, I should mention, this is similar to, but legally distinct from, something we talked about in a previous episode, I Married Dora. And I should probably note again that just like in 1992 when this aired, marriages of conveniences are still very much illegal. So the marriage is arranged in order to prevent Billy from being deported back to the UK. Billy becomes Mary's boarder, living in her basement apartment, which, according to the opening, is a little bit less than legal in Berkeley. But that living arrangement comes with the strictest of rules. No drinking, no smoking, no pets, and no relations? And of course, many of the family comedy tropes are mixed in with the sort of will-they-or-won't-they chemistry between Billy, the professor, and Marie, his student. Now legally man and wife, if only to evade the feds. Although, why would you want to send Billy McGregor back to Scotland? I mean, Berkeley's not that bad.
Yeah, what's there in Scotland anyway in 1992?
Gordon Ramsay.
Well, David Tennant's, what, 22 at this time?
Yeah, he hasn't been cast in anything international at this time, so.
Yeah, it's a shame.
So that's basically the story. And now, here are our players. We talked about Billy Connolly. We talked about his history. We talked about his work as a comedian and a stage actor. He plays, of course, Billy McGregor, his role on Head of the Class, which carries over into the new series. One thing you probably don't know, he joined the Territorial Army in the Parachute Regiment at around the same time that he was a welder.
Oh.
He was also in the Humble Bums, which is a band where he played the banjo, and one of his bandmates was Jerry Rafferty. Speaking of the king of the sexy sax, you know, Baker Street.
Oh, that guy.
Yep, that guy.
Do 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 do.
Playing his student and now wife, Mary, is Marie Marshall, a native of Dallas, Texas, and a veteran of such shows as Babylon 5, Star Trek The Next Generation, Law & Order SVU, and Early Edition. She was also on an episode of Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place, Future Entry. Notice we're not talking about Two Guys and a Girl, because that lasted considerably longer. Although, technically, they're both the same show.
And it's airing on Maximum Effort.
Gee, I wonder why it's airing on Maximum Effort.
Right before she got cast for Billy, she played Melinda on an episode of Wings.
Oh, man. Can you guys believe that it's now been 112 episodes since I mentioned for the first time ever on this podcast I love Wings?
Seems like only yesterday, doesn't it? And now we get into the kids. Playing middle child Laura McGregor, all of 10 years old, is Natanya Ross, who was that teenager from That Thing in the 90s, but played Robin Russo in 43 episodes of The Secret World of Alex Mack, which I didn't even know had more than 43 episodes.
I didn't know that lasted more than three seasons.
I'm not surprised. I thought it ran for a number of episodes, more than, say, 40 episodes or so. Not necessarily four seasons, but I thought it was definitely one of the longer running shows that you would have seen on SNICK at that point.
Playing youngest daughter Annie is Clara Bryant, who wasn't in much of anything as of late. She was in an episode of Numbers. She was in an episode of Hacks. She was in five episodes of Buffy the Vampire Slayer as somebody named Molly from 2002. But yeah, that's pretty much all she wrote for her career. I mean, she hasn't acted in anything since 2007, and after she finished shooting her last role, Bone Eater, that's the name of the feature, Bone Eater, she decided to retire from acting. She graduated from Georgia Law School and Columbia University, so she is a genius.
Does that make her an SEC legend if she graduated from Georgia?
Yes, it does. Also makes her an Ivy League legend.
Hey, Georgia legend, just like Nick Chubb.
Adding an edit here that I didn't necessarily want to add. Don't watch Nick Chubb's injury on Monday Night Football. It's ugly. It's sad.
Had to get a Browns reference in there. They won last week.
I get you.
Hey, he's no Stetson Bennett.
And rounding out the cast as David, 14 years old, Johnny Galecki, known for playing David Healy, who is Sarah Gilbert's boyfriend on Roseanne, the third Rusty Griswold from National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, and little show from 2006, you may have heard of it, The Big Bang Theory. He's been playing Leonard Hofstetter for 280 episodes over 13 years.
That's amazing.
And that is going to be his legacy.
No, his legacy is going to be that one scene in Christmas Vacation. Mike, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Tell everybody. I know what you're talking about, but please expound for the audience.
Oh, the lingerie scene from Christmas Vacation.
Yes, that is maybe the best scene in Christmas Vacation. I'm sorry. I know there's better ones, but the look on
Clark's face.
And Clark is looking at the perfume girl hiking her skirt up to show where the panty line is, how high it goes up her thigh. Classic. Definitely one of those defining moments I remember seeing in the movie theater when I was 14 years old.
So here's our newly minted family unit. Billy's trying to be the good father, the adequate husband, at least Brichelle. And everybody's just trying to get along, you know, until they're ultimately found out. Would they ever be found out? Let's look at the episodes and take a look. We start, as always, with the pilot. A year after Billy McGregor left Millard Fillmore High School and head of the class, he moves to Berkeley to get married and get a green card. Episode 2, Hot Stuff. Billy tries to trick David into quitting smoking. He's 14. What is he doing smoke? Oh, he's supposed to be a bad guy.
Wait, is this the same Johnny Galecki who played the boyfriend on Roseanne who was a badass himself?
Yes.
This is like preparation. He's getting ready to ascend to that role when he goes to Roseanne in not that long. I mean, it was what? Probably the same year, 93-ish or 92-ish?
Yeah.
Because he definitely played an older teenager, so it rates. He would have been like 16, 17 at this point.
Here we are introduced to one of Mary's friends and or classmates, a lady by the name of Shayna, played by Maureen Mueller, who seemingly has a bit of the shine to Billy. It's like, okay, you guys are married, but you're not sleeping together? Can I have him? As if this arrangement couldn't get weird enough. But she is a known actress. She plays Dr. Deirdre Bennett in Dr. Doctor, which we may or may not cover in a future entry.
Oh, we are going to cover it. Trust me, we are going to cover it.
Of course, we need to talk about Matt Frewer at some point.
And the thing is, anybody listening to this podcast younger than maybe about 35 is like, why do you need to talk about Matt Frewer? Oh, listen here, kid. You weren't here in the 80s when Matt Frewer had an alter ego who was very popular. Oh, jeez. No. Are you really going to give it away? Okay.
Very popular.
Why would I even give it away?
Why would we give away in a future entry?
Catch the wave.
That's staying in, by the way. Oh, my gosh. You two talking over each other doing your max headrooms. Oh, my gosh.
Hey, Greg, I thought we were really good.
You were good. But no, that's staying in. That is great how you guys are sort of doing battling max headrooms there.
So this Maureen Mueller, lovely lady, she is still working. Her latest entry was in an episode of FBI Most Wanted and 5 episodes playing 3 different characters on Law and Order SVU, which I have started watching semi-religiously. They caught me at the episode where Chris Maloney gets shot after spending the night with Mariska Hargitay.
Oh, no. Why would anyone want to shoot him?
It's a long story, and it involves Russian terrorists. So.
Oh, or Christopher Maloney.
Episode 3, Parenting 101. Billy and Mary's ideas about parenting differ. Speaking of SNL alums, we were.
Yeah, we talked about Pamela Stevenson earlier, and this person worked with Pamela Stevenson.
Playing Phoebe Trillman, Mary Gross. She of the 81 to 85 class on SNL. She played Alfalfa in the Little Rascals sketches.
Okay.
No, that's Buckwheat. That's Eddie Murphy.
Wait, did she sing the Barber of Seville at some point?
No, that's Eddie Murphy, dude.
No, Alfalfa's gimmick on Our Gang was he sang the Barber of Seville in that one episode.
She might have. All I know is she shot Buckwheat.
That's right. Buckwheat dead, America mourns.
I'm still wondering if Charles Rocket found out who that effing bastard was that shot him. Oh, that was the previous season. I'm sorry. That's probably the reason we got Mary Gross in the first place, because Charles Rocket shot off his mouth.
Go back to that episode if you want to know what he said.
97.
I think people know what he said, given what I just stated.
Playing Giselle, Kathy Wagner. Not a known actress, but she was on a season of Undressed on MTV. And before that, a year before that, she played the role of Susan Dye. Is it Day or Dot?
Susan Day.
Day, okay.
Do you not know classic television? Why are you here?
I know Too Many Days, okay?
Too many days, too many days.
She played the role of Susan Day in Come On, Get Happy, The Partridge Family Story.
Oh, I remember that.
So do I.
I gotta say, MTV's Undressed. I gotta be honest. For a kid at 16 like me, that was like...
I'm dead. I'm sorry. Continue.
It was like, oh yeah, baby, it's time for Undressed.
That's all I needed to hear from you, is I want to talk about Undressed as a 16-year-old boy. Boing.
All I remember is tuning into one season, seeing Sarah Lancast, who I just saw on an episode of Saved by the Bell, The New Class, and all I can say is, Rachel's gonna have sex with somebody.
Wait, are we not going to talk about the one episode Christina Hendricks was in?
Yes.
That may be a future It Was a Thing on TV Presents, the episode with Christina Hendricks. Man, now I want to see it. I want to know what Christina Hendricks did. Dang. I thought all she was known for before she was on that one show was the episode of Married with Children, where she played a like a laboratory assistant. Oh my gosh, when Bud did some sort of science experiment to see if virtual reality, let's say, increased a man's libido, if he went into a virtual reality world and met the woman of his dreams. And let's just say, very tongue-in-cheek, things got sticky.
Episode 4, Poker Face. Billy and Mary go to a movie. And we have Mary Gross and Maureen Mueller returning as Phoebe and Shayna. But we also have playing a guy by the name of Schwartzy, Alex Polinski, who you would remember from every season after the first one of Charles in Charge.
Aw, you know what that means? If he was on every season of Charles in Charge after season one, in the Venn diagram of Charles in Charge, Alexander Polinski and Jamie Widows do not overlap. Is that really going to be my takeaway out of this? Is that Alexander Polinski on Charles in Charge did not work with Jamie Widows?
Nowadays, primarily known as a voice actor, he voices Control Freak on Teen Titans Go.
Oh, I love Teen Titans Go.
Oh, so you're the one.
Hey, did you see Teen Titans Go to the movies?
Very meta, that movie was.
Oh, that was the funniest damn movie DC's ever done, and that's saying a lot.
Episode 5, Billy Gets the Bird.
Hold on, Billy Gets the Bird. Did he get the bird from the same guy that flipped Zach Wilson after that one interception on Monday night?
Opposite coast.
Oh.
I thought you were going to say, sent the same guy who gave the bird to Peter Griffin. What? Bird, bird, bird. Bird is the word. Never mind.
No.
Hey, I can get away with that joke since they ended up winning that damn game.
Mary realizes Billy's value to the kids.
That's it?
That's all Google's giving me.
Wait, his value to the kids is giving him the bird? Dad, is that how you really think about us? Hey, I do want to give one recurring character, first appeared in the previous episode, but apparently playing Mary Gross's husband in this series, Norman Trillman, is Peter Vogt. Not really well known for anything, but he was on 6 episodes of Head of the Class as Mr. Dorfman.
He looks like a Mr. Dorfman.
Apologies to Peter Vogt if you happen to be listening.
Episode 6. Gimme some credit. Gee, I wonder what this episode's about. Mary's marriage to Billy ruins her credit rating. Okay, so it was adjacent to what I was thinking. Thinking about Billy maybe getting a credit card, but nope. We're learning about financial literacy in this episode, apparently.
No, getting him a credit card, that's a trope that's been overused. At least it's a little different.
Yeah, and it was done a lot on What a Country. Remember that one episode?
Oh, jeez.
Yak off the credit card.
Yes, and now do your rendition of the theme song.
I want to be an American. In America, we rap on me.
All right, so in this episode, we have a guy by the name of Siegfried, played by Art LaFleur, best known for being in Cobra, The Sandlot, The Blob, and Field of Dreams.
Who'd he play in Field of Dreams?
He played Chick Gandel, first base. He was also the Tooth Fairy in The Santa Claus 2.
The Santa Claus 2! He was the Tooth Fairy.
A role that would be later played by Dwayne Johnson, believe it or not. Sadly, no longer with us.
Oh.
And playing Roy in this episode, John Del Reno, who was in 2 episodes of Mike Hammer Private Eye and 2 episodes of Remington Steel, and 1 episode, can't believe I'm about to say this, of Tim and Eric Awesome Show Great Job. Episode 7, Feudal Attraction. That's resistance is futile.
Yeah, we get it.
A classmate's professed feelings for Mary spark Billy's.
Woo!
Oh my god. Playing the classmate, a man by the name of Irwin, Andrew Hill Newman, who is a character actor. He specializes in playing scrawny nerds. But perhaps he was at his scrawniest in the only 80s movie that matters and its lackluster sequel, 1987's Mannequin.
Oh, Mannequin.
He's had relatively more success behind the scenes, being a producer on 11 episodes of All That, and also being an executive producer on Celebrity Poker Showdown, if you remember that on Bravo 20 years ago-ish.
I love that show.
It was a great show. Absolutely.
Take all the fun of poker, put celebrities in the mix.
Bravo in the 2000s was awesome.
Episode 8. Billy flunks Mary. Billy may flunk Mary over a Tennyson poem.
That's it?
That's what it says on Google. On IMDb, it says, the ex-husband of Billy's wife, Mary, returns from Australia.
Oh, could you imagine an Australian and a Scotsman fighting over the same girl? That's not going to work. That's like oil and water, baby.
Episode 9. Out All Night. David stands in line all night for concert tickets and gets arrested. Episode 10. Home Alone. Almost. With the kids away, Billy and Mary think romance. Hold on 1 second. If I'm not mistaken, that is a violation of their oral contract that they agreed to in the pilot.
Hold on, you said oral contract. Ew.
Damn it, Greg, no! No! No, we're doing so well. They're having relations, and it's an oral contract? Uh-huh.
Oh my god.
Greg said it, not me. I tried stopping him.
No, Chico said it first.
But Greg, you went down that road first, and I'm like, no, 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 don't go there. And you just plowed on through.
I'm just saying he said it first.
And I tried stopping you, but that didn't work. You ran right through the stop sign.
I was thrown out by a mile at home plate. It was like Ruben Rivera running the bases that one time.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Wait, did you just make a Ruben Rivera reference?
Yes.
The pitch. Swing, and there's a shot deep in the right center. Racing back to Lucci. Still going back into Death Valley. It goes right over his glove. He missed it. But Ruben Rivera missed second base. Now he's heading for third, and they're going to throw him out by plenty. But the throw to third is botched. Now he's heading home. The loose ball in the infield. And he's out by 5 feet at the plate. And that was the worst base running in the history of the game. The game should be over, and Ruben Rivera just did the worst base running you will ever see. Unbelievable.
Dang, Greg with the deep cut.
Now things are about to get saucy. Episode 11, Love Me or Leave Me, Part 1. Billy and Mary decide to spend the weekend together. Absolutely nothing can happen out of this. Interesting note here, one of the writers of this episode, April Kelly, who would go on to, alongside Michael Jacobs, create a favorite of ours, Boy Meets World.
Oh, you won't say anything about Boy Meets World, but you'll talk about that oral contract. Okay.
Hold on a second, Mike. I heard that the great takeout business in Philadelphia deals with a lot of oral contracts.
Episode 12.
Oh, by the way, the sound's going in there. I just didn't want to say, I didn't want to draw any attention to the sound being in there. So, yeah, good job, Greg.
I figure you do a good takeout business.
The takeout business?
Yeah, we do a good takeout business. Takeout business.
Episode 12. Love Me or Leave Me, Part 2. Billy finally gets his green card, which poses a romantic dilemma. Does he really want to stay in this for the long haul for Mary's sake? Or is he getting out with his green card? Because now he has his green card! He's free to do whatever with whoever! And speaking of whatevers and whoevers, we have the return of Mary Gross, Maureen Mueller, Kathy Wagner, Peter Vogt, and two mimes. And that leads us to the final episode, Thunder from Down Under. Mary's ex-husband leaves a message on the family answering machine that he's coming to town and would like to visit. This raises all kinds of feelings in the family. The two young daughters are looking forward to seeing their dad again. The younger of the two has a dream that he's going to bring her back a kangaroo. The son, David, is certain that he's only going to disappoint them again. He had a habit of not showing up for things that he said he would attend. And Mary just wants to show him up and make him eat his heart out with what he's missing out on. Billy isn't entirely sure himself how he feels, but it all comes spilling out when he mistakes a visiting INS agent dropping by for a home visit for the ex-husband. This ends up being good for Billy, as the INS agent is convinced that no one in a fraudulent marriage could have such strong feelings for his wife. So that is the show. And for when it ran, it got a very plush time slot. It aired at 9:30 following Family Matters, Step by Step, and Perfect Strangers.
And this was Perfect Strangers' final season.
No, it would be the penultimate season for Perfect Strangers.
Oh, that's right, because it had that one weird final season in the summer of 93.
Bingo. But looking at our friends at TV Tango, it did not follow the standard TGIF lineup that season. Family Matters was on at 8 o'clock when it premiered. And it did win the night. But then you had Capital Critters, which is a future entry. Baby Talk, which is a future entry. And then Billy.
Wow, what winners after Family Matters.
Hey, say what you will, but they did end up winning the night because mostly because of 2020 and Family Matters. I'm not even going to lie here.
Well, NPH did do a voice on Capital Critters, so maybe it was the NPH factor also.
It always goes back to Neil Patrick Harris, doesn't it? Maybe that's what the reboot of Doogie Kamehameha was missing. Stupid idiots at Disney Plus canceled the show, and I'm still bitter about it. Thank you very much. Now, the next week, it would hold steady, but we would have Family Matters and then Step by Step, followed by Baby Talk and then Billy. And then, oh dear, nobody is beating the Winter Olympics.
Well, that did it. That did it. Everyone wanted to watch Tim McCarver host the Winter Olympic coverage, and that was it.
But it did get some of its audience back by episode 6, especially given that it was up against the likes of Sightings, I'll Fly Away, and Tequila and Benetti.
Yes, Tequila and Benetti.
But it continued being sort of the weak link of the TGIF lineup, to the point where they actually moved it to a new ABC programming block. I Love Saturday Night. You remember I Love Saturday Night, right?
No, I don't remember I Love Saturday Night.
It was supposed to be the Saturday version of TGIF.
Everyone goes out on Saturday nights. Who the f*** is watching TV on a Saturday night?
I don't know. On the I Love Saturday Night block, you have Who's the Boss, then Billy, then Perfect Strangers, then a repeat of Growing Pains, and they ride out the night with the commish.
Oh, okay. So you get Michael Chiklis at the end.
But you're not beating NBC on Saturday night. You're not beating the Golden Girls. You're not beating Empty Nest. You're not being Nurses.
Nurses?
Nurses. And you know what? They could put a steaming pile of crap in between the Golden Girls and Empty Nest, and it will get rated. Oh, look, the powers that be. My point exactly.
Wait, I don't see Vince Russo on this show.
But yeah, after 13 episodes, ABC didn't want any more, and the show was canceled. It has not been released on any media, and only a select handful of episodes have survived on VHS to be uploaded to the four winds of the internet, if you can find them. There's at least one on YouTube. Don't cry for anybody on this show. Billy Connolly, doing fine. He actually got a commander of the British Empire, and he retired from acting, and he actually has a bit of a serious side, too. Nowadays, he can be seen living in Florida. He's published an autobiography, Windswept and Interesting, in October 2021, and in 2022, received a BAFTA fellowship in celebration of his 5-decade-long career. So, congratulations to him. Of course, we know what the kids are doing, and we know what his wife is doing. Nobody's career was damaged by this show, and in any other lineup, it probably would have stood a chance. Because, hey, it's Billy Connolly. He's that darn likable. But ABC just could not find a place for him, and at the end of the season, he became just a thing on TV. But guys, I found something online. It's sexy sex time, y'all.
Oh, no.
What could you find from this? Well, I guess we'll find out.
This is an Etsy portrait of Billy Connolly as he exists today.
Can I proactively bid one penny?
You can.
Ain't gonna do me much good, though.
No, not really.
Have you seen any of the crap people make on Etsy?
I have, actually. I have the description of the item from Etsy from user The Art Bank GB, a portrait of Billy Connolly in dots using colored pen on A3 Bristol board paper, will be signed on purchase.
Oh, so this will be signed on purchase. Okay.
And, just so we are clear, you are bidding on the actual price, not the shipping. Mike, why don't you bid first?
Can I still bid a penny?
Not sure how that'll help you, but okay.
No. Does it say what the dimensions of this are?
It does not.
Asking for a ruling before I give my bid. May I see what Bristol Board A3 is and if it gives dimensions?
Yes.
Okay. So Google says that the standard size of Bristol Board is... Oh, gosh. You're making me do math. Really? Oh, no. You know, we talk about how IMDb is kind of screwed up. Google is sort of screwed up because it says... It looks like it says 221 divided by 2 inches. But no, I see what it means. So the common size of Bristol board, according to Google, is 22.5 inches by 28.5 inches. So it's a big boy. It's a good size portrait. And that actually does influence my bid. I'm going to say
$80. $80? Greg, what do you say?
$85.
You've both overbid.
I don't know if we should be upset about that or happy. I wouldn't spend $80 on that. I'm glad no Greg would spend $85. All right, let's drop the bid down to
$50. $50, Greg?
$1, Bob.
Thank you for putting us out of our misery.
$1, says Greg. The actual Etsy price for this Bristol board painting of Billy Connolly... Should have one-upped him, Greg. It was $64.82.
Why? That's all I'm asking. Why?
He's a Scottish treasure, Mike. That's why.
But the picture looks like it was done by a third grader. That doesn't even look like Billy Connolly, to be honest.
Hold on. Would you want to have, like, a Bristol board painting of this or of the leprechaun sketch drawing?
Can I choose neither? And she will take the leprechaun sketch drawing. Oh my.
I think it's a nice looking painting myself. I really do.
I'm sorry. It does not look like Billy Connolly even like 30 years ago.
Have you seen Billy Connolly now?
I have.
He kind of looks like Tony Dow meets Colonel Sanders almost.
Now I wish we had gotten a Colonel Sanders at before he died of Tony Dow.
That's a whole new recipe for seduction.
Well, that's going to do it for this episode. But remember, you can always go to our website over at itwasathingontv.com where you can listen to the 411 episodes that preceded this one. Got all sorts of great bonuses there, including minisodes, live shows, extended versions of previous episodes, the whole works. Also, remember, we're on all social media, including Instagram, Threads, Mastodon over at It Was A Thing On TV, except for Facebook, where we are at It Was A Thing On TV Podcast. Remember, subscribe to the podcast wherever fine podcasts can be streamed. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, iHeart, Audible, wherever fine podcasts can be streamed. And don't forget, we are also on YouTube, where you can like and subscribe to our channel, and don't forget to hit the notification bell so you can stay informed on all future uploads, including what's coming up on the podcast next time. So what's coming up next on the podcast, Mike?
If you remember, oh, this is probably about a year ago or so, maybe a little bit more, we did Shuckapalooza, which I thought was great. We have the spiritual successor to Shuckapalooza next week. Not going to involve John Shuck, but it's going to involve a person equally as legendary. We've never talked about this person on the podcast before, I don't believe, not even in guest starring roles. And we're going to talk about this person on two shows next week. well-known name, somebody that really hasn't had much of a career, to be honest, since like the early 90s, late 80s, but a name nonetheless. So that's going to be great. We're going to cover two shows from this person. Highly requested. I know people have asked at least for one of these shows to be covered, if not both. So you're going to get your wish next week.
And all of that is beginning next time right here on It Was a Thing on TV. For Greg, for Mike, I'm Chico. Thank you ever so much for listening. Please be kind to one another, and we will see you for the next one.
Wow! Please show your teenage son you love him. Go.
Give him a big hug.
Firm handshake.
A kiss.
Play catch in the front lawn.
Say I love you.
Give the boy some space.
Spend quality time with him.
Oh, brilliant, and smother him completely.
Oh, but I'm...
Wrong. You buy him a brand new motorcycle.
Oh, brilliant.
Billy is coming to TGIF this Friday.
And...